something that was way going on, and turn to page two, that'll be lost to the board, page two. Okay, there, and then the regular sum of number 589, we call it, but that would be very much less.
Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we're come before you, Father, thankful for another day of life that you've given us, for the many blessings, Father, that you've given us in this to have in this life, Father. We're so thankful for the time, the ability to be able to come together, Father, at the middle of this week to study your word more, to take a break from the world, Father, to come together with those of like precious faith, Father, to worship you and to sing songs of praise to your name. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of those that are sick and unable to be with us. Father, we ask that your hand will be upon them. If it be your will, Father, we pray that you would return them to their much-wanted health. Father, we're so thankful for the safe return of those that have been traveling. We pray, Father, for those that are here that will be traveling soon or even tonight. We pray, Father, that you'd give them a safe journey on those travels. Heavenly Father, we're as well mindful of those that serve in this country's military, especially, Father, those that are away from their families at this time and even those that are in areas of conflict. We pray, Heavenly Father, for their safety, and we pray, Father, for their quick return. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the congregation here, for the leadership of the elders that you provided here. Father, we pray that you would be with them, that you would grant them the wisdom and the knowledge, Father, to lead this group as you would have us to be in this area. Father, we pray for the one that's going to bring us the message this evening. We pray that you'd give him a right remembrance of those things that he's prepared, and that he will present those things, Father, in a way that edifies the group here, that will be able to take those truths, Father, apply them to our lives, and take them to the world. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for your love that you've shown us, that you've shown all mankind, Father, through your Son, through his very selfless act of his sacrifice on that cross for our sins. Father, we pray that you would forgive us of those things that we've done in error, that we would seek after that redemption by repenting of those things, and that we would turn and follow after you and the example of your Son that he led for us. Father, we just pray all these things through his most blessed and holy name. Amen.
I've been getting into Dungeons & Dragons recently a lot. It's a tabletop role-playing game with a medieval fantasy theme. And a large part of that is gathering and choosing what type of gear you need to bring on your adventure. And in thinking along those lines of coming up with an invitation, it led me to one of my favorite analogies in the Bible, which is in Ephesians 6, if you'll turn with me. It's about the whole armor of God. So Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The armor of God described in Ephesians labels several pieces that are specific analogies for how we can prepare ourselves to go about the Lord's business in this world. And I know it may not be the most comforting analogy, but it is very much we are at war with the evils of this world. And we are in a winning war as well. That is, we know is the outcome is that God will defeat evil. We just need to make sure we are on the right side. So I'll start with the loins girt about with truth. Traditionally, in the clothing of the day that this was written, they wore long robes that were useful for their protection from the sun and their daily activities and keeping them cool. But it was fairly restricting when it came with to combat. So they needed to take it up and gird it about their legs and tie it up so they could have complete freedom of movement needed for combat in this case. In this analogy, you are girt about your loins with truth, and that it gives you freedom to live your life in God's word. Many secular views of Christianity can sometimes see the truth of the gospel to be restricting, but it really is quite the opposite. In Galatians 5, Paul writes to the saints about how Jesus put away the old law and freeing those under it from its restrictions. I'll read a short piece of it. Galatians 5, verses 1, and then 13 and 14. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That yoke could be the old law in some cases, but it can also be that sin binds you to this world and separates you from God. And down at 13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." We were just speaking in our class about using our freedom or our liberty to serve one another, and specifically it speaks of that here. And do not use your freedom that the truth gives you, but for the flesh, but use it to help one another and bring others to the gospel. Jesus finished the old law and instead gave us freedom through the principles he set for us. We were given the freedom to serve one another. The next armor piece is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is one of the most important pieces for a common soldier. It protects all of your vital organs, almost all of your vital organs, and it keeps you resistant to attacks that may be slipped by your shield, which is faith. And I'll get to that one in a moment. And a breastplate is a preparation you make before the battle. It is your actions and how you portray yourself to the world, and how they speak for you before you even begin speaking to anyone about the Word of God. Your righteousness is something you need to work on in order to speak with somebody who may be even hostile towards the Word. Many times they may try and attack your character to dismiss your faith, as they and dismiss what the Word of God is saying, because they take you as a hypocrite or example of that, of why it's wrong. The next piece it speaks of is the shoes, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The shoes are your first protection for the ground you walk on. If you've ever tried to walk on gravel, it's not all that comfortable, and even you can't really move around very easily. In the same way, the gospel of peace protects you from the pain of the earth. Once you have that relationship with God, you no longer have to worry about the thorny pricks that you walk on here on this earth, when you know that where you're going next. And the preparation of the gospel has already been made for you. You just need to put on the shoes and take the required steps, whether that be the to believe and be baptized. And then going slightly out of order to the passage, we'll go into the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. With a helmet on, you're shielded from attacks towards your head and your brain. And specifically, most of your senses lie on your face and on your head. So being able to have the salvation keeps you focused on what you need to be focused on, and protects you from anything that may stray your sight away. These pieces are your passive protection. It's something you prepare before you go out into the world to fight God's battles. But now we'll be getting to the sword and shield, which are your active defense and offense that you have in your hands, that you always are using in going out. Not that you don't use your other pieces that you've prepared, but it's something that you actively use against the enemy. The shield of faith is stated in Ephesians to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And shields are commonly known to be able to be used against arrows, whereas a large part of it, because without it, you didn't have that much defense from a hail of arrows. It can also deflect bows and serves as your first line of defense against your opponent. Your faith in this context is your shield, and you actively use your faith in the world to protect yourself from the attacks of the wicked. Your faith is your understanding and loyalty to God's word, that you can use to show people what the truth is. You can, in using another analogy, you can deflect a blow and then use your sword. Which your sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is your only offensive tool in this analogy. Your sword is your only form of attack, and this is the only offensive we need to go. This is the only offensive tool we need to use. And you won't be able to pierce someone's heart with your faith alone. You need to teach them about the Word and the promise that is in the Word. It's a concrete example we use to teach someone the faith. The best example for using the sword and shield that I found is when Jesus was on the mountain being tempted. He very much... in this duel with Satan, if you will, Jesus used his faith in God to block any temptation that Satan threw at him, as he knew that God was protecting him in that time and that he didn't need to listen to the devil at all. And then whenever Jesus retaliated, he simply quoted Scripture. He directly used the Word of God against Satan as his offensive to dissuade any type of attack that Satan casts at him. So you have all of the pieces that you've prepared, and you have your active uses. And I think a great example of this, that embodies the idea of putting on the whole armor is Stephen. So to finish out, I'd like to read some of his story. So in Acts 6, verse 8, starting in verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose a certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, the Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and of them the Sicily and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been a face of an angel. And then he goes on to recount the history of the Jews very plainly, directly from their written history in the Word. And it is obvious that Stephen was prepared by the gospel before being chosen, as he was, as earlier, he was chosen because of his good status among the people. And when he was chosen, he took the truth and, trusting in it, spoke freely to the people of Jerusalem, and was able to convert many to the word, the true word of God. And he stated several times, including in verse 8, to be a man of great faith. And by his faith, he performed wonders and miracles. And just after he did this such thing, and it was then caught and brought to council, they set up false witnesses against him, but his righteousness shone through, and the people there saw his face like an angel. Then in chapter 7, verses 54 through 60, you have, when they heard these things, this is just after he recounted the Jewish history to them using the text of the Word. When they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen, even in the end, was focused on his salvation, seeing Jesus standing at the right hand of God and calling out that he be saved and that those who were attacking him would not be charged with this sin, pleading for them. So in all this, we have the preparation we take and how we use that preparation going into battle for the Lord. And if you have not taken up the whole armor of God and you wish to do so, the preparations have been made for you to be baptized into truth today. Or if you're struggling with anything and wish for help and guidance from the elders or brethren, we ask you to come as we stand together and sing.
Are you fumbling the speed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning cry and prayer? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the seed of the noonday's flare? For the harvest sun is coming on, coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done, soon be done. Will your seeds be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest hall? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the still and solemn night? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, for a harvest pure and white? For the harvest time is coming on, coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done, soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, all along the fertile way? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, you must reap at the last great day? For the harvest time is coming on, coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done, soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home?
Welcome to the armor that we all need to have. Another beautiful day, and several of the brothers. Thank God for that, too. Two of the men know any of the announcements you made.
I'll be chaplain on Sunday for another month. I have to go back down to Mississippi for some military training. So I will be in America for willing until July.
Keep Elijah in our prayers and our mind to fulfill his summer duty. Any other thoughts? We go to him with Father's prayers.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now very thankful for this day that you've blessed us with and allowing us to come together to study your word and how we should live our lives. And we thank you for the ability that of our speakers here to deliver those messages. And we we thank you for we pray that you be with us as we leave the comfort of this place, and that we might take the whole armor of God with us as we go around and shine your light through us. We pray that we're able to successfully shine that on others as we live our lives, so that they might be able to see the benefits of the way that you offer and the comfort that we're able to have with your word and your guidance. And we pray that you keep us safe physically until we're able to come back together at the next appointed time. And we pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.